The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote to me the proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zephrath, in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet none of them were cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Apparently about 100 million people are not here in the church. They're watching something on television. And apparently this is the biggest day for chicken wings and guacamole and a few other things. And apparently there'll be a few beers drunk this afternoon. Today, as we, as a country, consider Super Bowl Sunday, we are invited to ponder what a big event like this means to us. As I was preparing and reading the scriptures, I also looked online to figure out what other big events have happened. And it became clear that one of the largest events that gather actually 3 to 4 billion people every year is the Muslim High Holy Day, in which on several days they gather for the respect of their tradition and faith and their leaders. And when I looked at sports events, it was soccer, it was the World Cup that gathered anywhere from 1 to 2 billion people. And so when 100 million people are gathered, it's kind of a small event. When we look at Pope John Paul II's gathering in Manila at about 4.5 to 5 million people, and for those of us who were blessed to be with Pope Francis this last year with 500,000 people, there is an energy and a gift when you or I are gathered in a large space with a large group of people doing the same thing, and in that place of energy, we can experience something that is powerful, sometimes religious, sometimes just the human gathering. At the end of World War I and World War II, there were large gatherings of several 100,000 people. And at certain times in our history, there have been 1 million or 2 million people gathered to ask that a war would end. Jesus in the scriptures comes into a place where there's a large gathering, clearly not like any of these numbers, but in his time and space, there was a large gathering. And the scriptures we're given invites us into an experience in which at first Jesus is loved and people seem like they're ready to take him off and make him pope or the emperor or something, because he was healing and speaking powerfully and he was inviting people to experience God in their lives. But somewhere in the middle of the scripture, when Jesus heard what they were saying, they began to realize, how can he be so powerful? He's from South Pasadena. What good comes from South Pasadena? There was that localization of this Jesus that as a rabbi and a preacher and a healer, it was like, how could this happen? He came from South Pasadena. They were scratching their heads. And Jesus, whom they loved and they appreciated and they celebrated his preaching and healing, responded by saying, well, look at the Hebrew text, your text, our text. And the scripture tells us when there were large gathering in the Hebrew time, the prophet, the rabbis would go not to the big crowds, but to the marginalized, to those who were small, who were forgotten, who were the widows, who were those in asylums, those who had leprosy. Those were the people that experienced healing. And all of a sudden, this big crowd who were appreciating and loving Jesus and celebrating his history, all of a sudden, the Bible says this. They were filled with fury. The scripture is pretty clear here. They rose up and drove him out of the town. They led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. So to be clear, these people who loved his preaching and healing all of a sudden realized that they were being challenged and called, and so they wanted to get rid of him. And in fact, headlong means thrown over the wall, thrown over the barrier, thrown over the city ending to kill him. They wanted his neck to break. Headlong. All of a sudden, that love and respect became fury and enough hatred to kill this rabbi, this prophet, this healer, this Jesus. We know that large gatherings can start off in peaceful ways, in focused ways, in an amazing way of testament to hope and justice and nonviolence, and that sometimes things can go awry and all of a sudden fury sweeps people up into a negative place. We know this afternoon, sadly, statistically, this is the highest rate of domestic violence will be happening during these 3 or 4 hours. And so we always, as a people of faith, have to be remembering all spouses and partners and children who might be experiencing spousal and domestic abuse this afternoon and this evening, that somehow that act of violence could be turned into another direction. But in this scripture, that fury turns on Jesus, and he's ready to be hurled off the wall, off the barrier. He had crossed the line, and those who were in front of him said, this is not what we came for. We came for a preaching that lifted as us. We wanted just to be healed. We don't want this challenge, Jesus. And so Jesus in the scripture, in response to that, before they could hurl him over the cliff, the barrier, the wall of the city, he walks through them. Now, I think the scripture that we are given gives us some insight how we might live this out, because we're also given the Hebrew text and the other Christian texts. The first reading tells us that when we were in our mother's womb, God loved us and formed us. And very often the scripture leads to a preaching simply about abortion and about unborn children. And clearly the scripture is clear about the unborn child, that we are formed in the image and likeness of God. But very often in that conversation we forget the birth, all the rest of us, that we who are born and alive, we who are in this pews here or incarcerated, those on death row, those who are at the football game, those who are astronauts in the atmosphere, all the people of God were formed in the womb in the image and likeness of God. That first reading reminds us how holy and sacred we are. And the second reading, which is often used at weddings and kind of gets put off, well, that's a married couple's scripture text, which it should be and is, and a beautiful text it is, but it also is about all of us. It's calling us to love, to be patient, and to kind, and to break down barriers, and all those things that St. Paul tells us is not only for married couples, which it is for them, but it's for all of us. So taking the first reading, that in our mother's womb we were created holy in the image of God, and the second reading, that as believers of Jesus we are called to love, that's the greatest of gifts, we are then asked, how can we use those tools, those beliefs, to respond to this Jesus who is about to be hurled over the wall, the community's ending? Jesus, who was preaching a message that the marginalized were the ones that were touched by the prophets. You and I are invited to believe that when Jesus left and walked through their midst, that he is still with us in our midst, and that this Jesus is reminding us that we need to not only believe the first reading, that each of us are holy and beloved in God's image, but that everyone we walk with, even those on the patriot side tonight, are children of God, loved by God. And that in Boston, they have to pray today for those of us from Los Angeles, that on both sides of the wall of this game, we are all made in the image and likeness of God. This is what the Holy Father said this last week at the World Youth Conference in Panama, that those who put up walls are separating us and creating places of evil. And in the next few days, he will be in Dubai with the largest interfaith gathering that has been recorded in history. And in that place, he plans on speaking once again about what brings us together as opposed to what divides, what affirms the sacred texts that call us and reminds us that in our mother's womb, we were all holy in God's sight. So with those sacred texts, we can consider that a large gathering, whether it's a Super Bowl or a pilgrimage or the protest about war or celebration of the end of war or a soccer game, all of those large gatherings are moments to say, can we get to the bigger picture? Can I move from my small place to the big place? Can I say that both sides of the wall are people made in the image and likeness of God? Can we say that both sides of issues and things that often divide us, that we're all children of God? Jesus invites us into that message tonight when he in his radicalness reminded the Jewish community before him, look at the sacred text. The prophet always goes in the midst of the large crowds to the most marginalized. And that is what we're invited to tonight. Who is the most marginalized in your home, in your neighborhood, in our church, and in our world? Sometimes we will see in sports and music and arts and other things that a person that maybe has a physical challenge, maybe they've had an arm or a foot amputated, and all of a sudden we're seeing them amazingly running marathons or playing a violin or singing a song that 3 years ago, because of something they couldn't even speak. That when a person is pushed aside or marginalized by all of the differences in our world, we might see some miracles in which that marginalized person or group of people teach us and proclaim to us a deeper truth. They rose up and drove him out of the town. They led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through their midst. I invite us to believe that Jesus tonight, whether we're here or at the game or watching it or doing something amazing at home later this evening, that each of us are called to be touched by this event of a large crowd. And that touch is that we always move with Jesus to the marginalized, and in that place encounter the call of the prophet that in our mother's wombs we were holy and that we're called to love. And the greatest of all of gifts is love. Now, some people watch the Super Bowl not for the football, but for the advertisements, whether it's this Coke or that Pepsi or this car or that car or whatever it might be. And sometimes those ads, amazingly, can say something to a larger world because they're focused on how this message of football might touch other people's hearts. If you're watching the summary at 11 o'clock news, whoever won or lost will be reported, but they will also report about ads and how many million people watch this or that. May those messages, because I know some of those messages tonight have very strong messages about the marginalized, the injustices, and the call for the better part, that in good sportsmanship, we can also learn how to live out these scripture texts. Love is patient. Love is kind. And the greatest of all these gifts is love. May this holy word invite us into that presence of Jesus. He walks amongst us, and he invites us to live and breathe and affirm the marginalized within us and the marginalized among us.